You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
We're from the Kingsman Tailor's Shop in London. Maybe you've heard of us?
Today marks the beginning of a new age, but I'm gonna show you. Say goodbye to the Kingsman.
Kind of got a bit of a save the world situation here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is
the Jared
and Nick.
And today we are going to be talking all things Kingsman.
Let's get our British on.
Yep, let's get our British on. Wait, that was not British.
That is German, my friend.
Oh,
you're in the wrong continent.
You'd be a terrible spy, Kale.
I would be.
You are outer Europe, not inner Europe.
I'm sorry, you're not fit for the Kingsman.
I'm not fit for the Queen.
Unfortunately, you're not, love. I apologize.
But yeah, so Kingsman, The Golden Circle, just came out last weekend, and all three of us saw it. But before we get to Kingsman, The Golden Circle, let's talk about the first one, since my show did not get to talk about it when it first came out. So, starting with you, Nick, I got to pick on you.
It's okay.
No, you're good. What did you think of the first one?
Oh, the first one was fantastic. Oh, I can't gush enough about that one. That one was absolutely fantastic. I mean, Taron Egerton, a complete unknown actor, just killing it in the role of Eggsy. And then Colin Firth, he is the king. He was in the King's Speech. He was the king, and he's the king now of just British actors. And then Jack Davenport doing that cameo was fantastic. I love that.
It's always nice seeing Norrington.
I mean, he is such an underrated actor. Like, you really don't see him in much unless you're like, oh yeah, he was in that. And then you see him in the Pirates franchise, and you're like, oh right, he was in that.
Yeah,
I kind of felt like that's how John Hurt was. Rip. Because everybody's just like, oh, John Hurt. Oh, yeah, he was this guy. Oh, yeah, he was this guy.
But even to us, you know, film fans, it's still like, oh, yeah, he was in that. Whereas John Hurt, everyone knows him because he was in Alien, 1984, the Harry Potter movies, that kind of stuff. Whereas, yeah, Jack Davenport, that's right.
Yeah, Jack Davenport.
He's only just in, like, a handful of things, you know, studio-wise, because he kind of sticks with British things. Where he does low budget stuff like Pirates is the biggest thing he's ever done.
If you look at his IMDb page, it's like Pirates, Pirates, Pirates. One obscure movie, Pirates.
Yeah, that's right. So, and Jared, what did you think?
It has one of my favorite action scenes in there. It's a little bit sadist, but I love the massacre scene in the church. Love it. Like, I'm definitely going to take some inspiration and my capstone coming from Kingsman, because I'm going to be doing an action movie, and I am just so, like, in love with the way that he does his camera work.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn is a very distinct style, and I love it. It's very stylized, and I just love the setup for this movie. The first one was just beautifully set up. There was no, you didn't really need any extra information. They gave you enough what you needed to get the plot moving, and then once you did, it took off and ran with it. And that's what I really loved about that film. Fantastic. Yeah. It's 5 out of 5 stars for me.
It is fantastic. I was actually even rewatching it this morning, and it's still ultimately rewatchable. Like, mm-hmm. It is, like, I love the cast, I love the story and how it progresses and it flows. Like, it all, like, that whole training subplot flows the movie so well, because it flows very well with Samuel Jackson's Valentine, like him kind of building his scheme, like trying to rush the production of his SIM cards. Like, it all flows so brilliantly well. And even when we get to the action scene that concludes the second act of the movie, it feels like, oh yeah, this is part of the story. This is, you know, part of Iggy's journey as he becomes, from, he goes from, you know, a poor boy living in the flats to, one of the best in Kingsman, basically Galavant.
He learned his manners.
Go ahead. Yep.
You know who's in that movie and I did not know? And I didn't know until like the very end? Was Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's in that movie. I did not know that was him. And like I didn't distinct put that two and two together until I saw Star Wars and I was like, wait a minute. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, and that's interesting because, I mean, during the whole Kingsman thing, Mark Hamill was like the guy they put in front of the whole press, even though he only has like 5 minutes of screen time because of the whole, well, they put him out there because of the whole Luke Skywalker thing.
Well, what was really cool about that was that, like I was saying, was that you didn't know that was Mark Hamill, but then he does British too. And I was like, he's American. That is exponentially well for British. Because usually it's like British do American really well, but not all Americans do British very well. And he did very well as far as, like, it was seamless. I could not tell that he was American.
It was spot on.
Was indeed spot on.
To be fair, during the 70s and 80s, he would have to go like spend 6 months every 3 years because he had to go work on a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, London. What was it?
I think it's
Elstree Studio.
It's either
Elstree in
or
London.
Pinewood. Or are they the same?
I don't know.
I can't. It's getting hard to keep up with my studios in London.
Come on, Kale, you're better than this.
I know.
Well, no, I think they shot the first one at L Street, and then they did the rest at Pinewood in London.
Okay.
I think that's what they did.
We'll just stick with that, and then when we get to Star Wars Episode 8, we'll correct ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, so yeah, Kingsman, it's a fun ride, and it flows really well, and I just buy into the story, and Taron Egerton is the star. Like, yes, you mentioned Colin Firth is the king, but Taron Egerton is it's as much of his movie as it is Colin or Samuel Jackson's or anyone else's. It's incredible performance for a breakout lead. So moving on to Kingsman 2.
Let's get our 1950s on.
Is it 1950s?
It was 1950s-esque for at least the villain. By the way, y'all guys hungry? I could go for a burger right now.
Oh, dude. Too soon. Too soon.
Before we get into spoilers, initial thoughts, I'll start with you, Jared, because you seem the most optimistic about it.
I really loved it. It had the same effect for me as Kingsman 1. It wasn't as good, in my opinion, as Kingsman 1, but that's because we've already been exposed to the director and how he does stuff. I love the storyline. I loved all the cameos. I loved a certain special someone who I wish would turned out to be a Kingsman. And overall, I give it a 10 out of 10. Like, it's not the best movie I've seen this year, because Dunkirk still has my pick for the winner. But it is still up in like probably my top five of movies this year.
Before I move to Nick, we'll go down the road. This was underwhelming. It's not terrible. I don't think it's completely unwatchable. However, this was underwhelming, and I think the thing that we're gonna have to talk about eventually, and I'll let Nick talk in a minute because I know he's about to blow up. But I think this is the movie where we kind of now established Matthew Vaughn needs, I don't want to say be limited, but restrained from, because the thing about Kingsman that works so well is we only got one scene of the church. That's just like the church. I mean, yes.
Okay, I can understand that.
I mean, yes, you know, the movie ends with every millionaire, every political leader's head blowing up. I get that could kind of be similar, but still, for most of the movie, we don't get a church scene. Whereas this, we get like three or four different versions of that church scene. And also, he's just throwing in more and more stuff. I mean, if you were horribly offended by the ending of Kingsman where Iggy gets rewarded for saving the world by anal sex, then there's one thing that really tops that, and I know for mostly everyone it's a step too far. For me, it's one of those things where it's like I almost want to clap Matthew Vaughn for doing that, because
it was risky.
Well, because for a $105 million movie, How often do you see that actually happening? This and Mother, it's like, wow. I mean, like, well, I'll also throw It, because It has a movie. It's a scene where a kid's arm gets bitten off. How often in these last few weeks have we seen, like, this amount of violence, this amount of just, like, non-sterile, like, and here's how it is, and here's just the riskiness of it. So I will slight hand clap Vaughn, even though I'm still not sure how I should feel about the scene I'm talking about. And then I also liked Julianne Moore. I thought she was really good in the movie. I thought the way she portrayed this 1950s, 1960s, well, this drug pink, the way she portrays her drug king, or drug, is it drug pin or drug,
drug kingpin, cartel.
Drug kingpin. She's the king, as she's like this kingpin for this drug cartel, and she's doing it as like a 1950s, 1960s girl in a Pan Am commercial.
She's an evil I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Well, you got to look at how old is Julianne Moore? Like, if you had
I want to say she's like 50 something.
So this is she was born just after this era. So you could probably make it look at like she's or make it.
Oh yeah.
Put a little bit of a look into maybe she could play it a little older, but still have that still feel to it, that malt shop type feel to it.
Yeah, she was born in 1960. So, but still, I mean, just how she like portrays. There's one scene, and I don't think it's a spoiler, but she's revealing like how her antidote works to the world. And how she just, like, is standing there after Elton John is just, like, screaming at her. Like, what the fuck did you do to me, you fucking bitch? She's still just standing there, like, you know, like, in all composure, just, like, smiling, like, yay!
The 1950s housewife, here's your dinner, sweetheart.
Yeah, and
more that's like a Stepford Wives type feel to her. Mm-hmm. Very, very very reeled in, very composed, very proper.
Yeah, and that's why, and I kind of like that approach because I think there's a commentary that could be said about nostalgia basically beating us in the ass every time we kind of keep living in the past. I think that's something to be, there's something to be said about, and it's kind of funny how the drug, you know, cartel is in the middle of this 1950s diner and they have to go in and fight it. So I find that connection of like the past is hurting us and it's coming back to kick us in the ass because of things that happened like in the past, like in the, you know, the 80s and stuff like that. So I thought that was a really interesting connection. So without ado, Nick.
So, I didn't hate this movie. Let me make that clear. I didn't hate this movie. However, there's so much wrong with this movie.
Go ahead.
I have a little bit of notes here. I'm not going to really get into too much of them, but
it's only about 150 pages.
It's only about like a page and a half of notes.
I'm exaggerating for the audience.
No, but. Like, I have different things, like, by the way, spoilers from here on out, because I'm about to...
Oh, yeah, go ahead, sorry, spoilers.
Spoiler alert from here on out. My main issue with is that this whole movie kind of invalidates everything that was great about the first movie, is Harry Hart dying was a very big scene for the first movie, that you got to see his mentor die and sort of pass the torch on to Eggsy as a character. He's the new Galahad. And then just to sort of sweep that under the rug and just basically destroy any, like, so it's basically like a comic book now where, oh, he's like another comic book character. Oh, he'll be back. Oh, Pedro Pascal got shot too in the face. Oh, he'll be back. It doesn't matter. We have this technology now that can save you from a headshot.
We have a gel that will kind of connect everything back together.
I mean, narratively speaking, that kind of invalidates a lot of what made the first movie great, was that you had that trauma of him seeing his master die, of Eggsy seeing his master die on camera, and he was helpless to do something about it. And then now he has to deal with the fact that, and go through that whole wave of emotions after he's got a little bit of a closure over these last like year or so that he's been with the Kingsman.
Princess.
And I'll get to her.
Okay.
He's had this closure that he's been with the Kingsman, so where he's sort of operating and just working as he is and doing what he needs to do, but. And then you switch gears to, oh, he's back. What? Oh, he was back this whole time. He was alive this whole time. He never died.
He was just in America.
Yeah, that kind of invalidates a lot of what made the first movie great, was that there was consequences to what your actions. sometimes this is a very dirty business. This is a very serious business. You can't just openly. You can't just do what you want and expect no consequences to come of it.
I wonder if this is a clever. Now that you've mentioned all of this, I wonder if this is Matthew Vaughn's clever satire on American blockbusters.
It might nowadays. Be. And if it is, it's.
I don't want to say, because I don't know if Matthew Vaughn's that clever, but that would be really like a nice wink that he just kind of left it out there.
But I'm just looking through my notes here. Screen times of actors. Julianne Moore, Jeff Bridges, and Channing Tatum. I feel like they're all underperformed. And I read an article about a day or two ago about the actual first cut of this movie was supposed to be 3 hours and 40 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And that Matthew Vaughn had this huge grand plan involved, and that they had to cut it down to an hour, like pretty much cut out an hour and 10 minutes of it, I think. How was it? Do we know the runtime?
Well, it's 2 hours and 21. So it's probably like
an hour and 20.
Well, I mean, that's probably that runtime is probably before they added the credits. So it's probably almost an hour and a half they cut out.
So if you look at like just how much they've cut out, but they advertised the movie to be this big old movie or big old team up between Jeff Bridges, Channing Tatum, and then like Julianne Moore is going to be this really quintessential mm-hmm. villain, which she has a decent amount of screen time, but I felt like we needed more from her. She sort of just over-explains her stuff in some scenes because she doesn't get as much screen time. We don't really see that. With Valentine, you got to find out what he meant over the course of the movie. You don't really see his full plan until you get to the church scene.
Well, and it's explained multiple times. Like, Valentine does. We have scenes where Valentine does explain everything multiple times. Like, he explained it to the president. He explained it to Michael Caine's character in the first movie, but yeah, you're right.
But it's done subtly. It's not just done like over the. It's done digestively. Like you can.
Okay.
You can. It's hitting not you over the face thing. With it. Yeah, it's not hitting you over the face with it at the very beginning and then expecting you to remember it later, mm-hmm. as opposed to her, which was. Oh, here's this big exposition scene about me bitching and moaning about, oh, I can't be this open businesswoman. And that was another thing I talked about, or I wrote down, was that there's other governments in the world. Why not just go operate out of another country that legalizes certain drugs and then just be a legit businessman woman that way?
I thought that was the impression, is that she's the kingpin of the whole world.
Yeah, but like, okay, so America, but like America accounts for 300 million people. There is 8 billion people in the world. I'm going to market to just one country as opposed to marketing to the entire world and make money off the entire world, which I already am doing. Why do I need America? If America's going to do that, I'm still going to get drugs in there anyway. And
I think she wants the entitlement of being the most successful businesswoman. I think that's what she really wants, is that entitlement and the need to basically break out and be like, hey, I did this. I did this better than the tobacco and alcoholic countries, and now I want my ride. I want my success train.
I feel like that was one of my biggest problems with the movie, is that she really didn't have a realistic end goal like Samuel Jackson did. Samuel Jackson mm-hmm. was just like, I'm doing this for the world. She was doing it because she wants to boost her ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is the most successful businesswoman. I think she was like $246 billion, like, in the previous year, which would mm-hmm. make her one of the richest people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, like, she just wants the title. She just wants her name to be in, like, a newspaper.
And, like I said, she had comparatively speaking to Taron Egerton and to a few other characters, she had very minimal screen time. And they advertised her as being this very integral character. And she's very integral, but I felt like they cut a lot of her scenes out. And I think they probably did in that hour and 20 minutes. Same with Channing Tatum and Jeff Bridges, because Jeff Bridges is barely in the movie.
Honestly, I think that they kind of took out maybe the first act of the movie, because we're in spoiler time, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
When we start off and she says goodbye to the Kingsmen and she kills off Lancelot and Merlin, I'm here just like, we're within
she
like the first 20 minutes.
She didn't kill Merlin. She killed
the previous
Arthur.
Merlin. Arthur, you're right. Killed Arthur. And I'm here like, these are these well-developed characters that we had in the first one that are established. Lancelot was absolutely fantastic in the first one. I'm thinking like, okay, so there's going to be like this humongous team up. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, she's just on her laptop and just...
And I wanted to talk about that. Roxy dying and then Merlin dying later in the movie.
Let's not forget the pug.
and JB dying.
And JB dying.
Why did JB die?
I'm saying all three of these characters are JB, but like
JB's
great too. But like, oh, but there's no time. They kill off these characters, and there's no mourning period. There's no effect on the characters. They just move on like nothing happened.
They're literally just like, did you kill them? No, I didn't kill them.
Drink. They have that part.
They had that part, but like even then, it's still like it's done comically. It's not really showing any like.
Yeah.
Like effect on the character overall, like, and then Merlin, they have a minesweeper, and then Merlin dies on a minesweep or on a mine. How do you miss that one last little bit?
I know
bit
it's
there?
Just like, and okay, I'm just gonna move my bat to the right, take my step to the left, and we're going. Oh, whoopsie.
Exactly. Point I'm trying to make there. Merlin's death did not need to happen. On top of that, Roxy's death.
He has a good
singing
voice though.
He does have a really good singing voice, John. But that was another thing. Oh, funny thing. Two films this year have Channing Tatum in them with John Denver's...
And three now with the John Denver song.
I'm trying to remember, what was the other one?
Alien Covenant.
I didn't know that was in that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. But two with Channing Tatum. And one, I felt like that, it was... Country Roads was used better in Logan Lucky than it was used in Kingsman.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But Channing Tatum's scenes were obviously cut too. Like there was a lot of stuff that they just sort of just pepper him in there, and it's just like, why even have him in there if you're just going to make this one glorified cameo?
Yeah, I think I was reading also, not only going back to your 3 hour and 40 minute cut, the studio did ask Matthew Vaughn if he wanted to split it into two movies, like go back in and do some reshoots to kind of make it the first part like seem like, you know, one complete movie, and then we'll worry about the second part later. Like, it was going, like, they were planning, because they knew that Matthew Vaughn was serious about this 200, or 3 hour and 40 minute cut, so, yeah, they were trying to accommodate, but then Matthew Vaughn was adamant that we'll cut it down to 2 hour and 20, and then the other thing is Channing Tatum was also scheduled to do Logan Lucky in the middle of this production, so he had, so they kind of had to rewrite his movie at the role at the last minute and put Pedro Pascal's character in the role of Channing Tatum at the last minute. They just had to do a switcheroo, which I think works okay because Pedro Pascal is a really good Burt Reynolds impersonator.
Oh, I love Pedro. I was gonna get to him when I talked about what I liked about the movie. Was that Pedro Pascal is like a bullet point on there. Like, Pedro Pascal, keep doing what you're doing, bro. Like, you were fantastic. Like, I had, like, he's not even American. I think he's Mexican.
He's Spanish, I think.
I think he might be Spanish.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just like he did Kentucky Western very well, and I loved that accent that he had. That just like it added perfectly. And then,
Chilean. I'm sorry, Chile.
Chilean. He's from Chile or Chile.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, he was great. I'm gonna get to one or two other things before I talk about what I did like about the movie. There's missed opportunities with Elton John. There's like a couple, like they could.
I don't know if they missed opportunity.
I was so hoping that he would be like an ex-Kingsman or something like that.
That's what I was hoping for. Like, it'd be really cool.
Kick, I'm like, everybody just in the audience went.
I would have loved to have like had Elton John make a cameo in the previous movie, or like have an allusion to him, and then like have him come out in this one and just like to be that third. Or it would have been really, really cool if Elton John was Arthur in this movie instead of Dumbledore.
Yeah, poor Dumbledore. He gets like two lines and then he's dead.
Yeah, and then like that would have been really cool if Elton John would have been the new
he should have been a Kingsman.
He should have been a Kingsman. He should have been the new Arthur, and then like instead of Arthur dying, Arthur was kidnapped. And
yeah.
That would have been really cool to me. Like, and then that would have been really cool if in the first or in the second movie they're like, "Wait, Elton John, you're a Kingsman?" He's like, "Yeah, love, I've always been one lot." And I'm like,
"Yeah, I'm the next Arthur. I'm Michael Caine's brother."
And then
it is Wednesday.
And then I love that scene between him and Harry Hart where he's talking about, "Honey, you'll get a backstage pass," and I'm like, "Yes."
That was probably one of my favorite lines in the movie. It's just like,
because if you know anything about
tickets to your concert, no, you're gonna get a backstage pass, and you might as well have winked at the audience at that point.
Like, if you know anything about Elton John, about his personal life, that was just like a oh, I was like, yes, but Elton John was, there's a couple missed opportunities with them, and then they have all these other knights that they just kill off.
Oh yeah, we don't even see.
We don't even know who they are. You have all these other knights.
They all look the same.
Yeah, I mean, and they always
generic
put on the
protagonist number one. did.
Like, you have, and then, and like I said, going back to the no time to mourn, no time to really do, they have that scene where they sit there and drink the bottle of whiskey, but there's still, like, you don't feel like they're really mourning. You just feel like, oh, they did their drink and they're over it now.
That was a comedy thing for me. Like, and, like, it's just like, this is our doomsday plan, and it's to
drink.
Well,
I think I think Merlin even says, like, when they're at, like, the house that's, you know, the tailor shop that was blown up and destroyed, it's like, we can't mourn them. We have to keep going. We have to, like, find out what happened to them.
And, yeah, and then in private is when you do that. But then, like, I would have, like, they go into drink.
But then you're right. It's done comedically when they get the drink.
I'm like, then you say that, and then you do this scene, and then you do it comedically, so you don't really add any grab. And then, oh, that first action scene, right off the bat. Like, I get you want to throw us right in there, but, like, subtlety, man. You got to pull us back a little bit. Let us walk in there, and then don't hold our hands through the entire thing. Is like, that's why is
I want to say, I want to say if the first, I want to say if, like, the first 10 minutes was sacrificed, because I want to see, like, that would have been really a nice intro scene, like, title sequence of, like, Iggy putting on the suit and then walking out, like, and then just showing, like, you know, he's progressed, like, he's cool and suave, and then walk into that action scene. Like, that would have been a way better, like, way to open the movie than just be like, he walks out, we see this guy that we don't really recognize.
I didn't recognize him at all until actually, like, later in the film.
And they hold your hand through that entire thing. They're like, oh, yeah, you remember that thing? Oh, yeah, remember that thing? Oh, yeah, I did that. And then he's like, it's done with. I'm like, okay.
Also, it's just like, and instead of your head exploding, your arm pops off. And it's just like,
wait, what? I forgot. Yeah, I was about to say.
He tased him in the first movie. And that prevented him from his head exploding when the thing went off.
But his arm popped off.
But his arm blew off. So I'm just like,
sure. Whatever.
And they just wanted to have that as a way to, like, just have somebody have a cybernetic implant.
Yeah, let's. Matthew Vaughn wanted to be Terminator.
It's a glorified flash drive. Let's just call it what it is.
And then on top of that, too. Who's the person doing all the tech for Julianne Moore's character for Poppy?
Oh, yeah, she does everything.
Like, we never see her tinkering, though. We never see her doing anything.
I know,
like,
I just assumed she does everything.
And then, like, those two dogs, granted, those dogs were pretty cool. I like them.
Bennett and Jet.
Say again?
Bennett and Jet?
I think it was. Okay. Oh, yeah. Benny and Jets. Benny and the Jets. Okay, I get that. That's a good little reference there. But, it's just, and then that's an Elton John reference, too.
Mm. Okay.
Benny and the Jets was a Elton John song.
Claire, okay, all right. All right.
But, like, you have this, all these, like, things that, I mean, I'm pretty sure the longer movie would explain a lot more of this. But, okay, so I'm going to get to my biggest harp of this entire thing that I've been putting off, and that is Princess Tilde. She should not have been in this movie.
No, she shouldn't have.
She had no business being in this movie. She ruined the plot of this movie. If they really wanted to add some weight to this, they should have had Roxy be his love interest in this movie. They should have just had Princess, or maybe not Roxy. If they were to have no love interest at all, or have
I was about to say. Like,
he also has a family too. Like, maybe have his mom get stuck on drugs again or something like that.
That would have actually been more impactful for me, because the only thing that we can remember from him for the first time is the animal. That's like the only.
That's
thing
our
that
only
remember.
Relationship to this character is that she rewarded someone with anal.
But at least in the first movie, we got to actually establish his connection with his mother and how much he hated his abusive stepdad.
And his sister was a little sister or his little brother.
Little sister.
Little sister. Like, maybe have her get hooked on drugs. Maybe age it a few years later. Maybe have, like, okay, maybe I wouldn't.
It was one year later.
A year and a half.
Okay, maybe not that then. Okay, maybe not that.
But like, even, like, have, like, the sister crying about the mother, because maybe the mother needed it for, like, I don't know, just throwing
like
cancer.
Medical marijuana.
Like medical marijuana. Because they actually mentioned that in the movie, that medical marijuana is getting, like, all this hype, but it's still coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
With Poppy. Yeah, Poppy.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this movie could have done, like, and I think it's not a bad movie. Like I said, it's not a bad movie. I didn't hate this movie. I just felt like it could have been done a lot better. And granted, what I know about Matthew Vaughn from the first one, this just kind of, the first one being so good, puts this one down a lot of pegs down. And I think if had I never seen the first one, I think I would have enjoyed this a lot better.
I don't know, because I don't really, because here's the thing. The problem with Kingsman the Golden Circle is that it just doesn't flow like the first one does. Like, it doesn't have, when I mean flow, it doesn't, like, flow together. Like, her, like, Poppy's plan does not flow at all with anything that,
We learned her plan within the first, like, 40 minutes. Like,
sure.
In its entirety.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't flow with anything that Iggy and the Statesmen are doing. It doesn't flow at all. And in fact, it really is just, we're just looking for her. And she's just doing her thing. Like, there's no point by point to, you know, get anything. It's just like, they go here, this thing happens, and then they go here, this thing happens, and then they go here, and this thing happens. And that's kind of my issue with the movie, is that you're basically just telling the character. There's even one point where I'm sure this character got cut out a lot, is there's a character that was supposed to be from Singapore, or where it was mentioned that, you know, the antidote was supposed to go to this guy in Singapore. And I was wondering if there was a whole Singapore action scene that got cut out of the movie, because it was just, like, too unnecessary. And that's kind of my problem with the movie, is that there's just no, it's just a bunch of ideas, bunch of things happening, and there's no, like, merit or goal to it.
Cohesiveness.
Cohesiveness to it. And of course, there's even, and even more stuff doesn't even make sense. Like, yeah, you brought up the whole gel thing, with Harry coming back. That doesn't, it's okay, but it's still,
Deus,
it's like,
Ex Machina is what it is.
It is. But even her, Poppy's plan doesn't make any sense at all. So she's going to poison the entire her whole entire consumers,
mm-hmm.
all of her consumers. What's to say that no one, after the antidote does get served.
Like, say the president, like, succeeded and just, like, waiting on everybody to die. So that makes him the quote-unquote hero that ends the war on drugs. She loses
which
all
even
of her stuff like that, and it's just which, like, also the president. I like the president.
I will.
He was an asshole.
I that was Bruce Greenwood, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I actually
Captain,
like,
Pike.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed his scenes. I mean, for what it was, a logical scene if you think about it. I didn't think that they would have the idea to go that route, because a lot of people would say, like, oh, the president's got to save the day. No, but then the president's also, like, they had the balls to make a president that's just like,
no, we're going to win.
I'm going to sit back and wait. This is you're doing me a favor. Thank you.
I feel like that was actually a kind of jab at us, because that's kind of how I believe, like, the British kind of views us, and, like, not to get political, but, like, how the populace is reacting
earlier
to Trump.
Right.
Because I immediately went, he's even wearing the red tie, and I'm like,
I mean,
well,
the red, white, and blue is going to be all presidents wear red ties, blue ties, and white ties, and all this stuff. It's just because of the colors of the nation.
I know, but I felt too, it felt too.
Well, and also, it's not anyway, like, tucked in or anything. I know, I'm not getting technical here, but you're right. There, it's not just like, you brought up a good point.
It felt,
like,
very,
it's
blatant.
Yeah, and also. Yeah, and going back to that point, it's like, I can see that. Like, you're right. Like, I can see that actually happening. Like, a president just going, yeah, fuck that. Just wait for it to happen. I mean, there would be ramifications for sure. But, you know, but, I mean, I'm sure there's been a couple presidents in our timeline that have actually were hoping for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it was a logical choice. Like, given the circumstances as to what it would have done, the only thing that would have, if he were to have legalized it, he would have just opened the floodgates, and that would have been a whole other commentary they would have to talk on. And granted, I'm all for legalization of marijuana and all that stuff. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's not for a movie to sit there and force down your throat.
Mm.
Well, if you're gonna do it, try and give. I don't want to say piecemeal, but I would say, like, make that your big theme. The problem is, Kingsman has a lot of other things mm-hmm. going on. Thus, that's why we have a movie that got cut down from a 2-hour or 3-hour 40-minute cut to a 2-hour and 20-minute cut. So, and that's just where you're just going to lose a bunch of stuff. And I know comedies do this too. All comedies actually have, like, a 4-hour cut. But this is an action comedy where the jokes are structured and where, or they're supposedly
physical.
Structured where, yeah, it's you have to write it out to basically for it all to make sense. But the thing is, I feel like it probably would have been better to have seen the two-part movie that Fox was trying to get Vaughn to sign on to.
Which I want to jump on as soon as we're done with this point.
But, yeah, I don't... That's just the thing, is that all the themes, as clever as they are, even with, you know, Harry being a kind of a representation of America just sterilizing, you know, or they're sterilizing the idea of death in movies, or the stakes of death in movies. But even with those ideas, it's still, like, it doesn't go together in a cohesive film. But, Jared, what were you saying? What are you saying?
No, mine's another point once we're done with this one. It involves Agent Whiskey.
Sure.
If we're going on to a new topic, one of my biggest gripes is that Whiskey was very, very underdeveloped. Because the only real thing that we got from him about his backstory is that little line that we get at the end of his wife when he was in high school.
I can agree with that.
Got shot by two meth heads, and that's all we get from him. If I feel like I agree that it should have maybe been a two-part movie, because we could have developed these characters that were just he's the American with the lasso.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as stereotyped as you can get, and the only thing that we get from him is when he gets recovered from being shot and the gel is taking off him.
You see
the picture, and he goes no, and then we don't know what that means until later. And it's only like one line and then a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I believe there's a lot in this film that they, like I said, they cut out, and they it would have been really nice to have delved deeper into his character. I thought he was a perfect character, and I like the fact that he wasn't necessarily backing Moore's character. He had his own ulterior motives for wanting this to happen.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I loved that little plot twist. And I felt like it would have been a lot better of a plot twist if they had subtly weaved that in there, like to make us instead of just like the oh, Harry saw something, and then, oh, he could have saved that. No, Harry saw...
Or Harry could have...
even just, like, a line of dialogue from him, just like, I hate meth heads, or just something along those lines that shows that he's against drugs, but he's still working with the statesmen.
Or even, like, the statesmen, once they realize everything's happening, they ask, like, Whiskey if everything's okay. Like, because they know his backstory. They know how this could all, like... interfere with his work.
Mm-hmm.
So and that would be even nicer, but they don't even do that.
Because the states also, are all for it.
They also establish him as a sexist a little bit too in the film, and then that makes no sense at all, because I'm like, why would he be like, there's no evidence of him doing that except for that little throwaway line that Halle Berry has in the movie. Oh, and then there's this whole other thing with Halle Berry where
her whole like arc to
like her, this whole meaningless arc of where she basically just, she complained about it in the movie a little bit. And then it happens. And I'm like, what did she do to earn that?
That's my other thing about this movie is it tries to be feministic at the end, but then they still kill Roxy. We have a female villain, which there's nothing wrong with having a female villain, but still it's like it doesn't complement with each other when you kind of have to interweave in the, you know, the end of the movie that Whiskey's dead and now Halle Berry is going to get that. And also we have now a new female president, even though we had no idea how this person became a female president. Or this president. Because we don't know what her status was. We don't know what her role was beforehand. Like, was she vice president? Who is this? Who is Emily Watson?
I think she was supposed to be the Secretary of State, but that didn't.
But we
really,
never saw a vice president. Never,
yeah. Going back to Barry's performance, I think if she was like there to help fight Whiskey, or
I thought that would have been a lot better.
In the field, it would have been more gratifying to see her get the position because she actually did something.
She earned it.
I think what should have happened was that they kind of split off, and that it would have been Barry and Whiskey fighting each other for a little bit while they get the codes, and then Whiskey kind of comes in and they all get together. I feel like it should have been like out. We get Whiskey and Barry fighting each other.
Uh huh.
And then the two fights kind of merge together after they get rid of Poppy.
Right.
But it wasn't like. I did like the reveal of his traitorism where he grabs the suitcase. Mm-hmm. But also, his electric whip is cool as shit.
Yeah. Mm hmm.
Like, that's straight out of D&D. I love it. But I feel that it should have been that way. We should have had something to promote her. She just didn't get the promotion. She worked.
Yeah,
for
she
the
just
promotion.
Got stuck in the room with Merlin.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think Merlin should have stayed back, and I think she should have gone on that trip, and I think she should have been the one flying the jet to the South America, and then she shouldn't have died. She should have been in the fight with him the entire time, and then she should have been the one to stop Whiskey at the end of it. I think that's would have been perfect.
Yeah. She should have been the one to put him in the grinder.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And I think it would have been really cool, honestly, if they'd have kept him alive and they would have just had had him get stripped of his rank and have her promoted to his rank and then have him sort of just be an outcast character that they could set up next movie, not even as a bad guy, just as somebody that they might have to rely on later because he has information on something that he's got to bring to the Statesman. That would have been really cool.
Okay, so just
how they
should
have done. What's his name? Charles? Chad? The guy with the robotic arm?
Oh, yeah, that.
I mean, they kind of did that with that, but even then, he was still. But another thing I didn't like was that. Why is that Arthur the new Arthur, like the Dumbledore? Why is that new Arthur old?
I don't know.
Are we gonna talk about that? Like,
I don't know.
I get why.
This movie doesn't care, apparently.
Like, they do this whole scene about, like, tryouts for, or the whole first movie is all about, like, how you become a Kingsman. And then this old man just gets it because, oh, we need an old man to sub in and do this and take care of things. But, like,
he actually beat all the youngsters, Nick. Believe it or not, Dumbledore beat all the youngsters.
He actually is Dumbledore. That's not Arthur.
Get the Harry Potter tie-in right there.
Yeah, there's a good, like, he's like, Jedi mind-tricked with a wand, like.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe will come in at the end and be the new Arthur.
Actually, that would have been really cool, was if they'd had like a Daniel Radcliffe cameo or something like that. Or just because if they're going to go British, go British. Like,
Well, Michael Gambon's British.
Yeah, like, Michael Gambon is British. But I'm saying, like, you can have, if you're going to go like that route, maybe third movie have Daniel Radcliffe as a Kingsman. That'd be really cool. And that's why you shouldn't have killed off all the other guys, because you could have had other British actors come in later as established agents of you could have had, who are the other Knights of the Round Table? I'm trying to think of.
There's Lancelot,
Percival.
You could have had you could have, but I'm saying you could have
yeah,
had other,
yeah, that,
that's
yeah.
What I'm getting at is you could have had other knights come in and like other one-off roles that are just like maybe they help a little bit. That would have been really cool, but you kill them all off, the entire organization's gone, and now they have this whiskey distiller and they got to redo it all, which actually, if they're going to redo it all though, they should have new knights.
That's what I was going to go with, is that they have this whole training session in the next one, and Etsy is now the mentor. Gone full circle.
Etsy, yeah.
Yeah, especially since Merlin was the teacher and now he's gone, so. Mm-hmm. Or even.
And then Harry was.
Who's
going to
be the new
he
Merlin,
was supposed
though?
To be gone.
That's a good question.
Like I said, you shouldn't have killed off Mark Strong.
I mean, I get why they did it, but even as I was thinking about the Destiny, it's like, he could just hang out, or there probably is, I don't know, Nick, I don't know if there is a way, but is there any way to defuse a mine?
There are, it's just, it's not conventional. Usually it's not safe, it's honestly like, that's the reason why we try to avoid minefields in the military. We just... If you could find the mind ahead of time, yeah, you can. But like, if you've already activated it, you're on a timer essentially. It's how long you can make it last. The best way to get rid of a mind is literally to get out of its blast radius. Which is, if you're on that mine,
that's yeah. Good luck.
Something that I thought that they were gonna do, like, complete honestly, is that they were gonna like Indiana Jones sandbag it, just. And just put, like, some kind of pressure back on the plate.
I don't think that's possible with a mine.
I know it's not possible, but that's how they kind of set it up to be, was that he was going to be like, okay, so I'm going to get you off the mine.
That's another thing. He freezes
it by putting it on.
He freezes it, and then he jumps on it himself. Like, dude, just get out of the way. You're wearing bulletproof suits.
Yeah, just get out of the way.
Dude, you're wearing all of you are wearing bulletproof suits.
Actually, Harry, just find all the mines around us and tell us where they are, and then we'll just jump off and just go to those areas, away from the blast radius. Yeah, but that would have been way too complicated. So Merlin just had to die.
So, like,
seeing John Denver.
I mean, and that was the, and I guess that was their way of rectifying the fact that, like, I swear to God, if he comes back in this movie, in the third movie, I'm going to be pissed.
Like a robotic leg and like happy. He comes back as Cyborg from Justice League.
I guess that was their way of like actually finalizing death because they kind of brought back Harry Hart. And he the only reason I'm pretty sure he's back is because the audience wanted him back. They wanted more of Colin Firth. But go ahead.
Where is Poppy's place at?
South America?
Like
place in South America?
Undiscovered ruins.
I think it's Colombia.
What if there is a Colombian Kingsman and they find his head and put him on a cyborg and now he can shoot guns like this? And he goes to Harry and Iggy going, "Hey guys, look at my new suit."
Yeah, I would do that for a Saturday Night Live special or something like that.
He's like, "And look at my wand." His arm turns into like Cyborg's blaster cannon. And it's just
moving forward. Like, okay, what would you like to see from this franchise?
I mean, here's the thing. Each movie kind of has wrapped up the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not that much more to do. And really, I know this is going to sound terrible, but I don't really care. Like, this movie did, by introducing how they introduced the Statesman, kind of proved to me, like, I don't really care to know how they introduce, like, the German Kingsman. Like, I don't really care, or how they introduce even that, bringing up the Colombian Kingsman. I don't really care if they do that. Like, because they kind of just showed me that, they'll be, you know, played by big actors for a little bit, and then they'll be neutral, and then they'll kind of be, like, subplot for the Kingsman to actually come in and save the day. So I don't really care.
Well, moving forward, I think they are going to make a third one. If I read.
Oh yeah, they already have the treatment.
They already have the treatment
written.
for the third one, and then they want to make a Statesman movie too.
Okay.
Which would be really cool. I'd be behind that, and then you could have. But is Channing Tatum going to be in the for this Kingsman, or is he going to stay as a Statesman? That's a curious question.
Well, the ending of the movie.
He's in the suit, but like at the same time, I'm like maybe he's just doing that for shits and giggles, or just as like a
friendly gesture. Because maybe the Statesmen have a mission that the Kingsmen need. They need the Kingsmen on.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's like a lot of potential for this franchise to go someplace. And I really, if need be, I really think we might need to get rid of Matthew Vaughn. I think it'd be really cool to see somebody else take the reins with this. I like Matthew Vaughn. Don't get me wrong, but like it might be time for like to have somebody that knows what the series needs, a fresh look at the series.
The problem is with that is this was actually written. Mark Millar and Dave Gibbons actually kind of wrote this for Matthew Vaughn to do when they were writing the comic book or graphic novel. They kind of wrote it for him to direct. And he's kind of made his own imprint on it so much that Kingsman 3 could have the same problems that Kick-Ass 2 has, in that it just goes more in the Mark Millar direction, which. If you're a Mark Millar fan, cool. That's awesome. But let's admit to ourselves, he's a very angry Irishman. He's a very angry dude. And his.
Why is he going to be Irish?
Well, I think he is Irish.
But why is he going to be angry Irishman? Why can't he just be a regular Irishman?
Like, side note, can we have the Irishman as, like, another.
That'd be
like,
really cool.
And that's how they work with.
The breweries in Scotland. They already have the Kingsmen have a brewery in Scotland. That's what the new business is going to be instead of Taylor's. So that's what they're doing moving forward. I think I've read that.
No, that's how it is in the movie. They gave him the funds.
And it's going to be directed by Martin Scorsese.
Oh yes.
Wink, wink.
No. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, that'd be awesome. But sure. But I don't know if Tarantino would do a sequel. I hate to be the guy that'd be like, yeah, sure, let's see what someone else could do, but maybe after the third movie, because I just feel like this is so much of Vaughn's that it's like, really the solution would be is to, especially since this movie's not going to do as well as the last one, maybe just give him a smaller budget, like they did with Ridley Scott on Alien Covenant, and just let him kind of have more restraint. Because like I said earlier in the podcast, I think the problem that Matthew Vaughn runs into on his movies, particularly his R-rated films like Kick-Ass and particularly Kick-Ass in this movie, is that he just dives into the vulgarity. And he dives into and his own like ideas and vulgar ideas kind of get the best of him, and it kind of makes it forces him to not tell a more cohesive story, rather than, you know, rather like he'll go for the vulgarity more for, you know, the story and characters. And so I think by not limiting restraining him a little bit on the third movie, honing him in a little bit more, be good. But then again, he's really eyeing that Man of Steel 2 or doing a Superman movie.
Would you want to see a, if you did do Matthew Vaughn again, would you want to see it like, moving forward, like, would you want to see a more, like you said, you want the more restrained film, but would you want another organization, or you want him to just continue on with this plot line, or would you?
If they're going to do a third movie, finish out the line they kind of have, this storyline they kind of have right now, and then pass it on to someone else and see what else they can do with it. Because right now I feel like this franchise is too much of Matthew Vaughn's. Like, if we had, I mean, if we threw in, I think, I'm just going to throw a journeyman director in there, Francis Lawrence in there. We just, or Gavin O'Connor, if we threw some journeyman director in there to try and emulate Vaughn, I think it'll be a disaster.
I think if you were to, next person I would pick to do would be Edgar Wright.
Okay. If Edgar Wright will do that, if Edgar Wright will get behind a Kingsman 3 or even do something with the Kingsman, I can get behind it. Because he can do, I don't want to say vulgar jokes, but he can do R-rated and still tell a cohesive story.
And he's also really good with just controlling. And then he is British, I think. Is he not?
He's British.
So like he has that feel behind it. He can work with British actors and actresses. And I think it'd be really cool to have him bring in a fresh perspective to it, because he's a very stylized director too. And one point I really wanted to bring back was I enjoyed about this film was like the how stylized this film was still, how very polished it looked, how very the action scenes were very crisp, very stitched together well. Those long takes, I like that.
Right.
One thing I loved from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I didn't really enjoy the film that much, but I loved how stylized that film was.
And that was Guy Ritchie.
And I was going to ask, because the other person I would bring into it would be interesting to look at would be Guy Ritchie to come in and take a Kingsman.
You know, what's interesting about Guy Ritchie is Matthew Vaughn produced his early work. So if you can't get Vaughn, probably get Ritchie. I think if they're going to do a Kingsman 3, I think they're going to want to move forward very quickly. And Guy Ritchie is working on Aladdin as we're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it probably would be kind of impossible, but yeah, either Vaughn or Edgar Wright would be perfect. And I mean, I would like to see Ritchie do it. It's just he's currently busy for the next couple of years on Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm all for these ideas. What do you think, Jared?
I don't really have much to add. You kind of hit every point I wanted to.
All right. So, do we have any more final thoughts on Kingsman? Because I'm going to talk a little bit about Lego Ninjago for like a few minutes, just quickly.
I'm just going to, I'll finish it up with mine. I thought it was a good effort. It's just, it's not as great as the first one because of the first one. And I overall would give it a 3 out of 5.
Jared?
That's a complete contrast to what I was saying earlier. But now that we've kind of delved into a little more, it's no longer in my top 5 now that I've kind of realized all these little things. But
we're
It's okay.
We shattered the glass.
You ruined the movie.
What is it? We shattered the illusion, the grand illusion.
It's still a very good movie, especially for this year, for what's come out. And it is still worth the theater watch to me.
It's only worth the theater watch if you go to a dine-in theater, get a hamburger and fries, and enjoy.
Although I went to the same theater you did, but Movie Tavern's cookies have gone way downhill. I had their cookies again. They taste like cardboard.
Yeah, I don't want to. I like going to Movie Tavern. It's a really nice place, and it's actually the cheapest place in Gwinnett County to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I know there's a couple theaters in Lawrenceville that are not that bad. But still, it's like, for our area, Nick and I, maybe you, because you live in Cumming, it's actually still pretty cheap.
Coming just opened up their new. It was previously Carmike Theaters. Now it's the Movies 400.
AMC.
It's Movies 400 has been around for a long time, but it's not AMC.
I know it's not, but it's AMC bought them out. No,
AMC bought them out, but they're not AMC, quote unquote.
I know, but their new prices are going to be like way low, and they're I read they're going to be like still $6.
I buy my tickets from Costco, and oh my god, it's like 3 for 1.
Yeah,
it's amazing deals.
Nice.
It's my little plug-in for my work.
Nice. So yeah, Kingsman: The Secret Circle. It's underwhelming compared to the first movie, but as far as action movie goes, especially in September, which actually September has been kind of nice with It and Mother. Mm-hmm. It's been really good. It's been a good month, and I think this is a nice film to hold us over till American Made and Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. So, which is next week.
Yep. So that's it for Kingsman. I'm just going to talk a little bit there. Guys, you can ask me a couple questions if you want, but Lego Ninjago, it's all right. It's my only opinion on Lego Ninjago is, you know how everyone, like on Collider, Movie Talk and whatnot, they were talking about how, like, they were kind of talking about Power Rangers, like, it's not for us. You know, grew up with Transformers, He-Man, Voltron. I kind of felt that way with Ninjago. It's like, I don't really get it, but I understand that this is for my cousins, for my younger cousins. It's geared
for a younger audience.
Yeah, and that's how the movie is. It's geared for a younger audience. So it is really good for the kids.
How many times do they break the fourth wall?
No. Once, actually.
Once? Only once?
Yeah, only once. They only break the fourth wall once.
Really?
Yeah. And I won't spoil where it is, okay. But it's they have it in there, and it's fine. It's serviceable. I mean, it's a lot better than what we've gotten out of kids' movies in the last few months. So it's better than that. God dang it, Emoji Movie. But anyways, it's fine. It's
at
a fine
point.
Movie.
Its ratings were as tied with The Room.
Really?
Yeah, at one point early on, it was getting the same reviews and scores from everyone as The Room was. Of course, The Room is still the worst movie out of the two of them.
Yeah.
Emoji or?
Emoji.
Okay, I was going to say.
Emoji versus The Room.
Okay, I was going to say. And then I asked, the other question was, Room versus The Room? Because Room with...
No, Room is
Brie Larson
good.
Is good.
No, no,
yeah.
No. The Room. You tag me up. But Lisa.
I did not hit her. I did not.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Give me the money, Johnny. No. Yeah, Johnny. Give me the money, Johnny. It's like...
I can't wait for Disaster.
I can't either.
That's going to be so good.
It's going to be... that'll be interesting.
It's just got to make fun of The Room and everybody's going to love
it. Yeah. But as far as Lego Ninjago goes, it's fine. I give a mild recommendation. And that's it for the show this week. So, Jared... do you have a Twitter?
Nope.
Do you?
I'm not hip.
Okay.
Follow Decibel Radio on Facebook.
Yeah, do that. Where can the good people find you, Nick?
You can find me on Twitter at Nick_Briz, B-R-I-Z, on Twitter, or you can find me on Instagram at Mountains Make the Man, all one word.
Mountains Maketh Thy Man.
Oh, it's Mountains Make the Man, but it's I actually kind of did take it a little bit from that where manners maketh the man. That's actually where I got that from, because I am a mountaineer, and that's sort of where I got that from.
Nice. All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Movie Kale. You can also find me on Twitter and this channel, the show on Twitter at The Youth Critic. You can also follow on the channel that distributes this podcast at KC Network. Does Decibel Radio have a Twitter?
Yes, it is Decibel Radio, one word.
Okay. And that is it for this show this week. Next week, I don't know if we'll talk about any movies, because I don't know anyone that's seeing American Made except for me. So what we'll do is we'll do a Blade Runner retrospective instead. Are you seeing American Made?
Probably going to see both. I'm not in school this semester, so I have a lot more free time and money to burn, because that's the beauty of being out of school, is you just go to work and then you come home and you go to work and you come home.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, we'll if we do an American Made episode, it'll be up by Wednesday next week. If not, just expect a Blade Runner retrospective next week. So anyway, that's it for the show. Thanks, Jared and Nick, for being on, and we'll be back with you all next week.
I need you, Dex. This is a bad one. Worst yet.
There was an escape from the off-world colonies 2 weeks ago. 6 replicants. 3 male, 3 female. They slaughtered 20...
A Blade Runner's job is to hunt down replicants. Manufactured humans you can't tell from the real thing.
What's this?
Roy Batty. Probably the leader.
There was just one outfit making replicants that superhuman. The Terrell Corporation.
Mr. Deckard, Dr. Eldon Tyrell.
I don't get it, Tyrell.
Commerce is our goal here at Tyrell. More human than human is our motto.
I was looking for 6 replicants in a city of 106 million people.